Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Two, one.
Are you ready for it? We're going to limit our time on this.
Only a little bit of time will be taken up. But just know, off camera, it's our whole life.
It's our whole life. That's all we talk about. That's all the TikToks are. Josh is so tired of us.
I literally came over the other night just so we could watch the podcast and like the new announcement.
And we were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, look at this. Is that an Easter egg? Look at her smiling. Look at him, look in her eyes.
I know. And then all the TikTok edits of what he was saying. Oh my gosh. So,
gosh.
If you don't already know who we're talking about, you should.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Our Lord and Savior.
She just announced
October 3rd.
Her 12th album.
And we're so excited. 12th album. 12 tracks.
I already know it's going to be good because the color for this album is orange and it's my favorite color, so.
And I made the connection. Orange is our logo. So did we already know, like, are we on the same wavelength as Taylor Swift? Who knows?
Didn't I tell you I'm a mastermind? And now you're mine.
Okay, so that's it. That's all the Taylor Swift talk where we're going to talk.
Maybe a few more throughout the story.
Just a few.
But this is our second go-around.
Look, our internet, we live out in the middle of the boonies, okay? Middle of BFE.
Boondocks.
BFE. We are so BFE that there's very few internet options that we have. And ours is on a great big tower. Anytime it storms, we lose electricity. Anytime it thunders or lightnings, we lose electricity. We were recording and it lost connection because I was on Wi-Fi. So I turned off Wi-Fi. We're doing it a different way.
Not even hopefully. We know it's going to work this way.
It's going to work. We got this. So.
And the good thing is I already kind of knew the story already that we're getting into. So, I mean, and it was only like, 20 minutes into it?
Yeah.
So this
is actually going to be a first two-parter. So this might be kind of a shorter episode, but I wanted to stop where I was at because we want to dive deep into the psychological part of this because it is so wild. It is so crazy.
Yeah.
So.
There's going to be like, it's basically like the second episode of this episode is going to be a debriefing from it, like breaking it down.
Yeah, breaking down everything, looking at the psychological aspect, and which I didn't mention this when we recorded earlier, they have been since released from prison.
Okay.
So I want to talk about that too.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and tell you who we are talking about.
Yes.
Slender Man.
Ooh.
So if you listen to true crime, you have probably heard this story before. But little Miss Baby Tori over here, she knew who Slender Man was. I didn't know. She didn't know what creepypasta was.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
I have no idea what that is.
So I had to explain to her what creepypasta even was earlier. So we're going to go ahead and just dive in. Oh, we didn't have any business. We didn't really have any shout outs, recommendations, Just us living our lives.
Yeah, I mean, if y'all have any recommendations, like stories for us to cover, you see something on TikTok, Facebook, and a thing, you know, yeah. Want us to cover it, do a deeper dive. Audrey's really good at doing research, so.
Oh, thanks, girl.
You know.
Oh, I did mention TikTok. that, okay, so there's this guy TikTok where he posted a video and he's got, what's that thing called where the serial killer eyes, where the whites show or whatever?
Like underneath their eyes where the whites show, yeah.
So his kind of do, one more than the other. But anyway, so everybody's like, homeboy, you look like a serial killer. And it is so funny. Like, it's him doing videos trying to convince people that he's not a serial killer. But the more he tries to convince, the worse it looks because of his car. Like, he doesn't have a back seat in his car. And he's like, no, it's because I skateboard. And they were like, oh, well, are you missing any handles on your car?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, just one. But it's on the driver's side. So really, that works against me. Like, it is so freaking funny. So go, I think it's like something Alexander Johnson. It is so funny. So go check it out on TikTok. It's hilarious.
I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go watch it.
She's going to have to go watch it. It's funny.
Oh, and my TikTok person, I guess, because we're shouting out TikTokers, I've really been into Elizabeth Eats New York City, and she's very funny. Like, her interactions are very pure, sweet. She's actually learning a lot of languages every time she goes, so she's really funny. I love to watch her videos, and yeah.
So we'll just, yeah, go check them out. Let them know we sent you.
Or don't, whatever you want.
It's, look, I can't tell you how to live your life. Do it. But since it's a good story, we'll go ahead and just jump in since this is the second time.
Yeah.
One of these days, we're going to get this down pat and we're not going to have to re-record. Everything's going to be smooth sailing. It'll be great. Today's not that day.
Yeah. Not that day, y'all.
Not that day. Okay, so Slender Man. So a little bit about Slender Man. He was created on June 10th, 2009. First posted on a thread called Something Awful Internet Forum. It was a thread for a Photoshop. It was a thread for a Photoshop contest where users. Words are hard, okay? Words are hard. It was a thread for a Photoshop I swear, I quit.
Just take a drink.
Take a drink. Oh, yeah, I didn't show him either. We're doing it really hard today. She's drinking cherry Pepsi. I'm drinking tea in my cute little mug that Tori got me with some little dancing skeletons. We love it.
And it, just for, like, you know, reference, if you see this on YouTube, you're watching it on YouTube, you can see my Pepsi. This was completely full when we started the podcast.
Girl's been gulping it down.
I think I'm getting sick, so be safe out there.
Did you notice I changed the table?
I did notice.
I think I like this one better, because I felt like that one, everything was in our face. And then
it's just too high.
Yeah, and everything was like right here. And then pretty soon, I've got some stuff that I'm going to start hanging up on our wall. If you have any recommendations for cute little dark, spooky wall.
Like where to get it at.
Yeah, send us.
If you want to send us some.
Yeah, if you want to send us some, let us know. You can put it. You can email us and I can send you an address to send it to. Maybe. I did find this cute sign on TikTok. It's like a light up sign. I want to get it soon. So, yeah. Okay. Back to our story.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Slender Man, like I said, created on June 10th, 2009. First posted on a thread called Something Awful Internet Forum. Here we go. It was a thread for a Photoshop contest where users were supposed to create paranormal images.
Okay.
I did it.
Whew. That's really cool.
That did so good.
So
the one of the posters, his name was Eric Knudsen. He went under the pseudonym Victor Sarge. It's kind of a cool name.
I could see why he used that name instead of his real name.
Legit.
But anyways, Eric for now.
Eric Knudsen. So he posted two black and white images of groups of children. He added a tall, thin, white faceless man wearing a black suit in the background.
Slender Man. AKA Slender Man.
Which I already showed the tour. Showed the Tori. I already showed the Tori.
Already showed me.
I already showed Tori the pictures. So I'm going to post it right here for you. Right here. That's the picture. Do you like it?
Thumbs up.
Creepy. So most of the submissions only included pictures, but Victor Sarge posted his with notes from the supposed witnesses that would describe the abduction of a group of 14 children and then giving the character the name Slenderman.
He did this because he was a tryhard and he wanted to win that contest.
He's like, I want to win.
So let's read the quotes. What were the quotes?
First quote. And I quote.
Okay.
We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill them. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time.
Shiver me timber.
End quote. Shiver me timber. So that was supposedly quoted 1938, photographer unknown, presumed dead.
Dead.
The second quote said, and I quote, one of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken when 14 children vanished, and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformities cited as film defects by officials. A fire at the library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. End quote. And that was supposedly taken in 1986 by photographer Mary Thompson. Missing since June 13th, 1986.
Well, at least she wasn't presumed
dead.
Okay, period. That was kind of creepy.
And that's the whole vibe of creepypasta, like I was saying. It's just like a whole bunch of creepy, spooky stories. That's an ant. I hope it doesn't bite you.
Please help.
Last time I was a moth.
Child. Anyway, so those quotes were not real, right?
No, they were not real. It was completely made up pictures. They're like Photoshop pictures, but they were pretty spooky. And you got to remember, this is like early internet before Photoshop and AI like took over.
So everyone thought it was real.
Yes.
Kind of like the bunny rabbits on the trampoline.
Yeah, who would do that? I shared it. Did you share it? Okay. I was like, look at this bunny.
Oh my gosh, it's so AI, cute. Bro. The AI got you.
I know. I felt old. Stupid bunnies. God.
And the deer, too.
But it was really cute, guys. Did you see bunnies?
Bunny hopping on a trampoline? It's AI. Don't
fall for it.
Audrey did.
Okay. Well, Slender Man very quickly became a culture icon. Everyone began creating their own versions of Slender Man, posting pictures of him, creating their own stories. Like, people start saying, oh, I seen Slender Man, and he, like, would come and stand in the woods. And, like, there was a bunch of creepy stories about him. He started appearing in movies, one notable one being Marble Hornets, which I've never seen that movie before.
Never seen it.
He even inspired the Minecraft character Enderman. I am too old for Minecraft. Did you play Minecraft?
I was a Minecrafter.
I was
never too old for it. I love Minecraft.
My kids still play it sometimes.
Went and seen the movie, too.
So do you know the character Enderman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's from the Netherlands. Nether Porter.
Okay, girl.
Okay, anyways, child.
In the Marble Hornets movie, it follows a group of new reporters who come across a series of mysterious tapes when covering a foreclosure. The tapes have disturbing footage of a man being stalked by a faceless figure that is known as the Operator. Not the Slender Man.
Oh, I just got crazed.
The character resembles what people knew as the Slender Man, and as they began investigating, they are now being watched and stalked by the Operator.
Not
Slender Man. The movie was not a direct adaptation of the original story of Slender Man, but more of like a spinoff.
Okay.
It had new characters, but same similar vibe of like paranormal, paranoia, supernatural, and just like dread. So in 2014, Slender Man would make headlines again. this time being linked to the stabbing of a 12-year-old girl. 12 years old.
So that's just for reference, only 2 years older than Jackson.
2 years older than my youngest and 1 year younger than my middle child.
I couldn't even.
This is why I'm that parent that I am so weird that where they stay.
Yeah. Like,
my kids have very select approved houses that they can go to. Their friends can come over here. Like, we have kids over here.
All the time.
But my kids have very few houses that they are allowed to go to. And the majority of them are family.
Which, not even in, like, a spooky way, but even in a, like, I don't know. Some people's parents are weird.
They're weird. You never know if, like, are they creeps? You don't know what they do.
Yeah, I saw this video on TikTok where this, like, couple, I guess, recorded her daughter while she was taking a shower or something.
Yeah, see, like, what is wrong with people?
No.
Like, my house is, I've always tried to make it, like, the safe house. Everybody's allowed to come over. You're allowed to stay. Like, if they're here, they're my kids. I treat them like my kids. I'll yell and cuss at them like I do my own kids if they need it. Just know to expect that. But they are loved. They are watched. Like, they're safe. This is
safe space.
So this story takes place in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Peyton Lautner, who is in fourth grade, sees Morgan Geyser sitting all alone one day at school. Peyton feels bad for Morgan and asked if she could sit with her. Peyton's mother later recalls that Peyton was always an empathetic kid, and Peyton recognized that Morgan was lonely and believed that everyone deserved at least one friend.
Aww.
Sweet baby child.
Peyton is our angel.
Sweet baby angel.
So she befriends this loner. Peyton befriends Morgan.
Yes. So after Peyton asked to sit with Morgan, they very quickly became best friends. Morgan was always known to be kind of a loner, never had many friends, and Morgan was, like, she was very odd. She carried a journal to school, and it had, like, dye scribbled into it, along with a bunch of other dark entries, like weird pictures. It just said weird stuff. Like, it was just really.
So Peyton befriended the wrong friend.
It's, yeah.
Like,
it's,
she's weird. She's
a little strange. Not only that, but many peers and teachers would describe Morgan, again, as the lone kind of weird kid. There was one day early in the school year that she would go up to another student and just bark at them. Which, again, it's just kind of like,
Morgan, honey.
Just kind of side eye, like, what are you doing? She would then run from other kids and yell that Snake from Harry Potter was chasing her. Another group of girls found Morgan with blood on her fingers, and she was just sitting there playing in it.
Okay, so I feel like Morgan is kind of an attention seeker. Definitely. Maybe. Something messed up in that noggin.
Yeah, something's off. Morgan was also suspended for having a rubber mallet in her locker. It fell out in front of other students, and they ended up reporting it. Morgan claimed it was for protection, but then when she was pressed for more information, she said, "I just said that because I didn't know what else to say." So it wasn't for protection. It was just, what was she planning to do with it? Like, why did she take a freaking rubber mallet to school?
Probably gonna kill her class pet or something.
Who else killed their class pet?
I didn't. You know, I was talking about that the other day with Mom. It actually was the dog who got a hold of it. Yeah.
You just...
Yeah.
Guys, this is breaking news, okay?
And Mom found it in the living room and put it back in the cage for me to come home and find.
Breaking news. This is news to me. Okay. What grade were you in?
I don't know, like four. It was before sixth grade. I know that.
Okay. So before sixth grade, Tori had a class pet and it was a bunny.
Yeah.
And Tori got selected to take this bunny home for
off
Christmas
good
break.
Behavior and everything.
Okay, she worked really hard, and she loved this bunny. And this bunny loved Tori. So she brings little Bunny home and mom's calling me every day like, oh, I'm like, how's Bunny doing? Oh, she's doing great. Tori's doing great. Then I get a call one day and mom's like, the bunny's dead. I said, what? And she said, the bunny's dead. I don't know what to do. But I didn't know the dog got it.
Yeah.
So tell it.
It was either like the dog or the cat.
Tell your point of view from it.
Okay, so point of view on it was we went to, it was around Christmas time because it was Christmas break when I took it home. And every year we'd go over to Aunt Misty's house to eat food, everything like that.
Yeah.
When grandma was still alive. And so we went over there. We were over there until like maybe 8 o'clock. We left around like 8:30. But it was all the way in Kilgore. So we had like a 45, maybe an hour drive back, you know.
Yeah.
We get back home around like 9:30, and I walk into my room after just sitting in the living room for a while, like visiting, talking with mom and dad. I go into my room, and a bunny's just laying there in the cage, and I'm like, oh, it's sleeping. It looks so cute. And so I like get up closer to the bunny's cage, and I'm looking in, and I'm like, it's weird because it's a very skittish bunny. By the time that I would have even got over next to the cage,
It would have freaked out.
Like, it would have gotten...
jumped around or something.
Yeah, like, woken up or something. It didn't do that. So, I was like, what the heck? So, I, like, wiggle the cage a bit, and it's still just laid over sleeping. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, I start, like, opening up the cage, and I touch it. And it's just, like, stiff. Like, I don't know. It was very... Yeah, it's... really morbid story, but it was stiff and it was not moving. It was like a piece of toast. Like, I don't know.
A piece of toast?
Like that type of stiffness. And I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? So I just started crying. I went outside. I went out into the living room and I was like, oh, Shadow died. I don't know what's wrong with it. Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's okay. It's okay. Did not want to tell my teacher what happened, so I made mom text her.
Mind you, she just said this happened like early elementary school. We just literally just found out what really happened. Did mom not remember? She didn't tell you, or was she just like, I have a confession?
No, like we were just talking about it, and I was like, what? The dog got a hold of it? And she was like, Yeah. I was like, Mom, what? You never told me this.
Oh, my God.
Like, what are you talking about?
That's not funny, but funny.
It's messed up. Or that one time she ran over Rafiki.
Oh, yeah. Josh ran over another cat, a cat named Sparkplug. It was Seth's favorite cat. Like, he loved this cat, and we went to leave, and I guess he was under the... I don't know if I should tell this.
Maybe we should just...
let's get back to the story. Okay.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, Morgan didn't have a lot of friends. Hopefully no class pets. So, when Peyton befriended her, she was excited to have found one. So, when Peyton befriended her, she was excited to finally have found a friend. So, sixth grade comes along. So, that was fourth grade. Here we are in sixth grade, two years later.
Okay.
Peyton and Morgan are still good friends, and a new student comes into the class. Her name is Anissa. I think it's Anissa Wire. Anissa was also kind of a loner, and she ended up making best friends with Morgan. She was, like, known to hit other students and was kind of known to, like, cuss and be...
In a sixth grade?
Yes, and, like, be the bad kid. And, like, she wasn't afraid to, like, pick fights or start fights or... finish fights, I guess. And Anissa and Peyton didn't hit it off very well. So you've got Morgan and Peyton, who were best friends. Anissa comes in, and Anissa's, I would say, kind of jealous of Peyton. Like, they weren't very close.
So, like, Morgan and Peyton have been friends, though. So how did Anissa and Morgan get so close if she was introduced to, like, the both of them?
We'll get there. So, Anissa and Peyton, they really didn't hit off well. Anissa would get, like, aggravated anytime Peyton would try to come hang out with her and Morgan. And Anissa really just didn't want Morgan to have anybody, like any other friends. Like, she didn't understand why Peyton was still hanging around all the time. She was just like, why is she even here? But Morgan was always like, well, she was my first friend. Like, she's still my friend. So as time went on, Morgan and Anissa would bond over a common interest. They both really liked horror stories, creepy things that most kids their age weren't really interested in. As their friendship grew closer, they also secluded themselves from everyone else. So they even, like, secluded themselves even more as they got closer. They were soon kind of labeled as the weirdos. The distance grew between Morgan and Peyton. And Peyton really didn't have the same interests that Morgan and Anissa did. Peyton's mom even said that she really didn't want her to hang out with them anymore. But Morgan would always, like, guilt Peyton into staying friends. Like, you are my only friend. You were my only friend for years. You can't leave me. Like, you can't do that. And so Peyton would always kind of feel guilty, and she just kind of just kept hanging out with her, I guess.
But why would Morgan even do that? Because she knows Anissa doesn't like her.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, hearing it now, because I already know what's going to happen. I wonder if it was more thought into.
Yeah, or I think because she was her only friend for so long, I think she did kind of grasp for that. And then maybe losing her scared her. I don't know. It's wild. So Morgan and Anissa, they began looking up stories on creepypasta, and they stumble across the Slender Man story. And all three girls, they become obsessed with this creepy story. They're obsessed with, like, horror movies, gory stuff, like, just weird things at 12 years old.
Okay.
So May 30th was a Friday. It was Morgan's birthday, and they all three decided to have a slumber party. All three of them went to Skateland, they went for frozen yogurt, and then they went to Morgan's house for a sleepover. Which I talked about, Skateland. I had it was called Skate Town where I grew up, and I loved Skate Town. It was fun. Other than the mean girls, because girls are mean.
Yeah.
Ugh. So Peyton brought over her doll. She was like, all right, this is just a normal sleepover. We're going to stay up all night, just do girl things, just, you know, have a whole girls' night and play with dolls, paint her nails, just have the whole sleepover experience. But once she got there, Morgan insisted that they go to bed early and, like, was like, no, we're going to sleep. And so Peyton was just like, okay. So they all went to sleep. So let's fast forward to the next morning at 10 a.m. So Officer Dan Klein was expecting a quiet, normal day. I was listening to the podcast Murder with my husband. Great podcast. Shout out to them. Go give them a listen. Tell them we sent you.
Literally, they're so good.
They are good. And she had said on there, she had said that Officer Klein was on a call that morning. Over the night, someone had vandalized the video store sign. It was supposed to say hot hits sell. But somebody, probably teenagers, switched it to say hot tits sell. So he was just like, okay, let me take these pictures, write this report, like, you know, do his job. And so he was in the process of writing a report and was getting ready to take a picture of the sign when he heard a call come over the radio. Just a mile and a half away, a 12-year-old girl was found with multiple stab wounds. And so here is the 911 video of that.
What's the address of your emergency?
Waukesha County Lanham, transferring over a caller on Big Bend at the dead end just south of Rivera. And he came upon a 12-year-old female. She appears to be stabbed.
She appears to be what?
Stabbed.
Stabbed?
Correct.
Okay.
Are you still there? Yes.
Hi, sir. So are you with this 12-year-old female?
Yeah, she says she's having trouble breathing. She said she was stabbed multiple times.
Stabbed multiple times?
Yeah.
So a walker, bike rider, I can't remember, found her on the sidewalk, and he's the one that called 911, which is who you heard. So since Officer Klein was so close, he went ahead, radioed in, said, hey, I'm right here. I'm going to head that way. He made it to the location, sees the young girl. He's approaching her, you know, hi, I'm Officer Dan. What's going on? Are you okay? And Peyton just replied, no. As he got closer, that's when he realized like the severity of the situation and seeing all the blood that was like everywhere. So Officer Klein began comforting Peyton. He was trying to get any information that he could from her. And she was able to tell the officer that she had been having a sleepover with her two friends. So Officer Klein contacts Peyton's mom to tell her what happened, and that is when she gives the other two girls' names, Morgan and Anissa. So the police then contact Morgan's mother, and she confirmed that the girls did have a sleepover the night before, but they all woke up and went for a walk that morning and went to the park. She hasn't seen them since. So the authorities searched the house and the girls, nowhere to be found. They then go to Anissa's home to try to find the girls, and Anissa's mother, she hasn't seen them either. So at this point, they're like, where are the girls? Are they in danger? Like, what's going on?
Who stabbed Peyton?
Yeah, who stabbed Peyton? What is happening? And at about 2:50, the two girls are finally found. They are sitting on the side of the highway, dirty and covered in blood.
Well, I think we know who stabbed Peyton.
Guilty. So the police ask
the girls. Red-handed, literally.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So the police ask the girls how they got there. The girls had walked for about 5 hours after leaving the park that day. They arrest them. They take them to custody. They're put into two different interrogation rooms. And at this time, it was legal for minors to be questioned without an adult present or like an appointed representation, like appointed adult. So I went ahead and looked up when it became law for Wisconsin to have like a parent or guardian present. And I found out that there is still not a law requiring a legal adult to be in the room when minors are being interrogated.
Which is so strange because you always see like all these TV shows.
Where they like flip it on the kids and blame them and yeah. However, you are required to have one with you if you're going to be recorded.
Because that can be used against you in court.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So there's just a little knowledge nugget for you.
In case you were ever going to go visit Wisconsin.
If you're a minor in Wisconsin, know your rights.
Or, I mean, if you listen from Wisconsin, you don't got to visit Wisconsin.
You're already there.
Period.
But don't do any crimes. You don't have to get arrested. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Don't follow up on folk tales.
Folk tales. What the hell?
Folk tale.
So you can view the interrogations online, and there's a lot of video, and it is creepy.
Weirdos.
Both girls are read their Miranda rights, and they sign a paper agreeing that they do not need or want a legal guardian with them as they're being interviewed. And the girls do understand. Like, when they're asking them, they're like, do you know what this means? And they're like, yeah. And they, like, kind of explain. So they do comprehend what's going on.
It's not like they're in denial or like...
like, have no idea what's happening.
Like, they're mentally capable still. You know, they're not insane.
Possibly. We'll get there. At this point, the cops still are unsure what happened. They're just trying to get information. The parents would later say that they were not allowed in the room during this time. They didn't even know what was going on. Like, nobody really knows what happened. They just know that there were three girls that went to the park, and one of them ended up stabbed and is, like, barely holding on to life. The other two are found miles down the road, covered in blood. So they're just trying to figure out, like, what the hell happened.
And so they arrested the two other girls?
Yes. So they,
why?
Well, I mean, they're covered in blood. And I think they said, well, we.
Did Peyton?
I'll have to go back and look. I don't remember. I think they kind of hinted around like, yeah, we did it. Like, they may not even be, you know, they read the Miranda rights. So they have to be under arrest. So
they only read you those if you're under
arrest. Yeah. I'm guessing with all the blood and everything, by that time, they probably got the information from Peyton. And so they probably were. knew they had something to do with it, but they're just trying to figure out, like,
and also, what? You can arrest someone with probable cause. If you see blood on them, I'm pretty sure you can check them out. Make sure they're okay, whatever.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start with Anissa's interview. So Anissa, and the two interviews are completely different. Anissa's, she's kind of crying, but not like you would think a 12-year-old would be crying. Like, if you took my 12-year-old to the police station and, like, she was being interrogated, she would be freaking out.
Yeah.
So upset. This girl, she's kind of sniffling. Like, maybe she had been crying, but she's not overly upset. She's just kind of like I said, just kind of sniffling. Like, just she, I don't know. It's just weird. So they ask her, you know, do you need anything? Anything to eat? Want a blanket? Yada, yada, yada. She declines the food. She doesn't take a blanket at that time. Again, she is sniffling. And so, mind you, she, of course, the detective doesn't know this at the time. Or they know that they have something to do with it, but they don't know all the details. They arrest this girl who just stabbed her 12-year-old friend. And this is the first thing that the girl, that Anissa asked the detective. So the detective walks in, asks her if she needs to drink or anything. And this is the first thing. Very first thing.
She for sure stabbed her?
We'll get into who did what and all of that here in a minute.
Okay, so she
might. They just know that she has something to do with it. They don't know, was it Anissa? Was it Morgan? Was there somebody else? They don't know exactly, but they know they have something to do with it.
Okay.
But regardless, think of just Anissa. She has something to do with it. She has something for sure to do with it. We know, I mean, we know now. We know now that she did it. So take that into consideration. And this is the first thing that she asked that detective when she walks in the room. She says, can I ask you a question? And the detective's like, yeah, like, sure. And she said, I wanted to know how far that we walked today because I'm not very athletic and I just wanted to know. She then goes on to say that, like, told her where they walked. She's like, we went to, like, the Walmart or Kmart. We filled up our water bottles and we walked over here and we walked over there. And then asked the detective, like, do you know how far that is? And the detective is just kind of like, I don't know.
Is this really relevant? You're about to get questioned.
Yeah, like, homegirl, your friend is, like, barely hanging on to life, and you're asking me how far you walked? It's very weird. So she's like, I'll try to find out for you in a little bit. So she's like, okay, we'll put a pin in that. We'll talk about that later. Then Anissa starts talking about Morgan, like, immediately. So right after she asks that, she immediately goes into talking about Morgan. And she's like, well, my friend Morgan, she's kind of weird. And she can be kind of weird. And sometimes Morgan hears voices. So immediately after she asks about how far they walked, she's saying, you know, Morgan's weird and hears voices.
She's like trying to call her out.
The detective then tells her that she wants to hear her side of the story of that day. Like, I need to piece together. We need to figure out what happened. And Anissa goes, well, where are my parents? Are they out there? Are they scared? And the detective reassures her, they're here. They're okay. And then Anissa kind of starts to cry a little bit. And she says, the funny thing is, I didn't even know I was in danger until after Morgan stabbed Peyton.
After Morgan.
Yeah.
So Morgan stabbed Peyton.
According to Anissa. I mean, right off the bat, Anissa's blaming Morgan.
Even though Morgan's been friends with Peyton the longest.
The detective then asked about the sleepover. And Anissa says there's a website called Creepypasta. And she's like, hey, what about the sleepover? And she's like, well, there's this website called Creepypasta. And they're just like, what the hell?
Like, what?
Like, she goes into a lot more detail than what Morgan does. Anissa, like, goes into a lot more detail.
She's probably scared.
And she says, yeah, there's this website called Creepypasta. And then she kind of explains, like, what the website is and goes into Slender Man. She said that that Slender Man has what people call proxies or servants. And Morgan told Morgan had told Anissa that, we should become his proxies. We should serve Slenderman. And the detective's like, who's Slenderman? What are you talking about? And mind you, this story, she said, took place in January when they found Slenderman online.
Right.
Peyton got stabbed in May. That's 5 months that they have been planning this. So,
conspiring.
Yes. So she says, well, Slenderman is basically this top guy. Like, he's the head guy. And he has proxies that are, like, servants to him. And the detective's, like kind of like his puppets. And she's like, yeah, exactly. They're his puppets. And Anissa asks Morgan, well, how do we do that? How do we become his proxy? And Morgan just says, we have to kill Peyton.
Like, no one is telling you to do that directly.
No, they just kind of.
It's all in your mind. It's your imagination. Like,
yeah. And so that's when they decided that they need to prove, quote unquote, prove themselves to the Slender Man to become his proxy. And again, she's not overly upset. She's not bawling. She just kind of sniffles every now and then. It's just very weird. So while that interview is going on, they have Morgan in another interview room.
Morgan. And Morgan is supposedly the one that stabbed Peyton.
According to Anissa.
So let's hear what Morgan has to say.
So this is Morgan. Morgan is cool as a cucumber.
Okay, period.
Super calm. She's not sniffling. She's not crying. She's not upset. She, in fact, there's a, like at the beginning of the tape, she's literally dancing and singing, like dancing around the interrogation room, just singing, dancing, hanging out. And
just weird, like no empathy, nothing.
Weird. In one of the tapes, Morgan says, are you going to put me in prison where I'm going to rot and die? Please do not cut off my head. Which, like, girl, what?
Like, it's not the 1800s, honey. We ain't cutting off your head no more.
It is so weird. She, a detective comes in and like, interrupts her singing and dancing and everything. And he starts asking questions. He needs to, like, establish a connection with this girl.
Yeah.
And the detective begins to try and create rapport. And he's like, well, tell me about your birthday and what'd you do for your birthday? And he even mentions that his own daughter just turned 11 the week before and that they went and got sushi just like Morgan and her family did.
So is Morgan now 13, I guess you could say?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. The detective then began asking about Peyton and Anissa's relationship, and Morgan said that Anissa doesn't really like her. And she said Anissa would call Peyton a bitch, and the detective asked, well, why would she do that? And Morgan said, she just says that because she was being one. But then immediately goes and says, I don't really know the definition of that, though, so IDK. Like, she said it with such conviction, and then she's like, but I don't know the definition of it, so I don't know. It's just really weird.
Like, she said it in the right context, too.
Yeah.
But she didn't know the definition.
Like, is she playing off, like, oh, I don't know what that means, though. Like, is she trying to play innocent?
Like, girl, bye.
So he then asked Morgan about her relationship with Peyton, and she said, well, she was her only friend for a really long time. And he asked, well, why would you hurt your friend then? And she said, it was necessary. Like, literally, just like that. She goes, it was necessary. He asked, what do you mean it was necessary? And he's like, did someone tell you to do that? And she just goes, mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine being that detective?
Can you imagine being the mom? Like, I would just beat my kid. I
could,
like,
not imagine.
How do you let it get to that point?
And which,
how were you not, like?
Hopefully we'll learn more about, like, that dynamic. But it seems like a lot of the times her parents just kind of, she's just being a weird kid, and just kind of brushed it off.
The
and
preppy
never,
parents that are like, oh, our daughter's just different.
She's okay. She's just different. Like, they never. It doesn't seem like they took it seriously. And, like, yeah, maybe if she was doing one thing, she was just a weird kid. But it's the collectiveness of all of the things she was doing should have been signs. He asked if Anissa had any other friends, and she was like, yeah, I hate her other friends.
Morgan said that?
Yeah, and she's like, they call her creepy. I wonder why.
Because she is, but her friends call her creepy?
Mm-hmm. And so the detective, then he's like, okay, something's off here. Like, she has no emotion. She's like, she's just too chill. Like, he's starting to wonder, like, is something wrong? So then he kind of starts to do what they call an A&O, which stands for alertness and orientation. So he's like, do you know who the president is? And she's like, yeah, it's Barack Obama. And he's like, okay. And then he asked, you know, what have you seen on the news lately? And she says, gross things. And he's like, well, what do you mean by gross things? Like, yeah, and she's like, just kidnappings and just weird things like that. They're just gross. It is so weird.
So I now need to watch the interviews after this.
Yeah, it is so weird. So the detective's just kind of like, okay, something is off here. Like, this is not normal behavior. So he asks if she knows where they are right now. And she's like, not really. Maybe a police station? And the detective then said he was trying to, like, he's just trying to understand what happened. Like, what happened that day? He asked, so why do you think you're at the police station? And she said, because we ran off after hurting Peyton. Like, super matter of fact. Just like she answered, we went and got sushi. That's how she answered, we ran off after we hurt Peyton. No emotion.
Well, at least she said hurt and not killed.
So
she probably, either she's playing it off.
Yeah.
As innocent, or,
well,
she knows that she was still alive when they left.
Well, they do. And we'll, I get into that here. We didn't make it that far. I do get into that here in a minute. So he asked, well, what happened with Peyton? And Morgan said, her and Anissa woke up before Peyton at about 5:30. They went downstairs, took some quizzes on a website because Morgan and Anissa were obsessed with taking these quizzes. And Peyton wakes up later on. She joins them downstairs. So they're all three, like, doing these quizzes together. And it was about an hour before they would stab Peyton. Anissa even asked. She plays it off like it's, like, a question from the quiz. And she's like, what would you do if someone came up and stabbed you? And Peyton was just like, what? What? And she's like, what would you do?
Throw it in my face?
Yeah. And she's like, well, what would you do if somebody came up and stabbed you? And she's like, well, I'd probably scream, like...
like a normal person?
Yeah. So they continued the quizzes. They all end up going upstairs. And this just explains, again, how young they are. So they had a bunch of, like, old Halloween costumes and stuff. They went upstairs. They played dress-up. They were doing makeup. You know, just doing normal little 12-year-old girl things. They were playing with silly putty. Like, one of them even, in the interview, they were, like, asking about the events that led up to the stabbing, and they're like, well, we were playing with silly putty. And they're like, oh, were you? And she's like, yeah, we were sticking our fingers in it, and it was making farting noises. Like, it is just so weird.
Like, they're children, but they're not.
Yes, it is so weird. So this is when they start going into detail of, like, what actually led up to the stabbing. Anissa told her the other two, like, let's go to the park. It's time to go to the park. So Morgan and Anissa gathered up, like, granola bars and pictures and water bottles and a bunch of other supplies. And then as they're walking out, Peyton seen that Morgan was carrying a bag. And she asked Morgan, like, what, why do you have that bag? And Morgan's like, oh, we might need a snack later. So Peyton's just like,
okay. Why the picture frame?
Yeah, so, like, okay, weirdo. And as they were walking out the door, Morgan went back to the kitchen and grabbed a knife and then hid it in her waistband. So as they're walking out, Peyton is ahead of the other two, and Morgan gets Anissa's attention and lifts up her shirt and shows her the knife and, like, looks at it and is like, we're doing this.
My gosh.
And so during the Anissa's interview, she claimed that she was trying to remain calm, but she was shaking really bad while they were walking because she was so nervous. And the detective said, well, why were you nervous? And she said, I was nervous to see a dead body because the last time I seen one, it was at my uncle's funeral. So she's not nervous about hurting her friend
no sympathy for anybody else but herself.
Exactly. So the girls, they played at the park for a little while, and then Morgan started getting really antsy and kind of freaking out. And according to Anissa, Morgan said, I can't do this. You have to do it. I'm too scared. So Anissa told Peyton, like, hey, I need to talk to Morgan for a minute. She's like, she's freaking out about something, and I need to talk to her. So Anissa went up to Morgan, gave her a hug, kind of gave her like a pep talk. Like, what kind of pep talk is that? Like, calm down. We're going to go kill our friend. You're fine.
Pull yourself together.
Pull it together.
What even is going on?
I have no idea. Anissa said the girls then went into the bathroom, and they were all just kind of hanging out in the bathroom at the park, kind of singing a song and just like dancing, just hanging out. And again, Morgan began pacing back and forth. And so Anissa had actually told the detectives they chose the bathroom because there was a drain in the floor for the blood to drain into. They were going to go in a stall, put her in the stall, set her on the toilet, and stab her, and then crawl out from underneath, making it look like Peyton was just using the bathroom and wasn't dead. So that is them thinking about the ramifications after. They don't want somebody to find her. They want her to look like she's just using the bathroom so that she can die.
Like, they're planning this.
They want to make sure there's a drain in the floor so the blood will drain into the drain. Like, 12-year-old girls. 12-year-old girls.
That were just playing with dolls and probably dancing to music outside.
It is crazy. So Anissa and Morgan had read on Creepypasta that it's easier to kill someone if they are asleep or unconscious and to not look them in the eye. Because, like, I think it was Anissa was like, you're not supposed to look them into the eye so they don't become you. It is so weird. So the girls talk Peyton into going to the bathroom stall to look at supposed graffiti. Peyton didn't want to, but eventually she's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go see the graffiti. So she goes into the stall and the other two girls follow her in there. Once they follow her in there, they lock the door behind them. And Morgan then says, the truth is, there is no vandalism. She then looks at Anissa and said, I thought we agreed you would do this. Anissa balls up her fist and hits Peyton in the forehead to try and make her, like, hit her head backwards on the concrete wall. But Peyton's like, excuse you, and, like, pushes her away from her. And Anissa says, sorry, I got bored and just needed something to do. Like, that was her answer to Peyton for hitting her in the forehead.
What is going on? This is a fever dream.
I know. And so the detective's like, well, did that hurt her? Like, how hard did you hit her? And she's like, not that hard. It didn't seem to have hurt her. So Anissa and Morgan, they end up leaving the stall, and they went into the next one to have, like, a little powwow, like a little talk. And Peyton stayed in the other one, which I'm not blaming the victim. Again, they are 12-year-old little girls.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I'm seeing all this weird stuff and they go into the stall, I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm going home.
At the same time, they could have been going into that stall to be like, hey, like, why, Anissa, why did you just hit Peyton?
That's true.
You know, like,
very
Morgan,
true.
Her lifelong friend.
Yeah, you would never think, like, they're fixing to physically hurt me.
Like, they're fixing to try to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, no 12-year-old should ever have to think that way.
So, it's sickening. So, after they have their little powwow, they go back into the stall with Peyton, and Morgan begins explaining, like, who Slender Man is and about his proxies and, like, kind of explaining that to Peyton. And Peyton's just kind of
like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Is this meant to scare me?
Yeah. Freaking weirdos. Morgan then goes to the corner of the stall and she holds Peyton's hands behind her back. Morgan, she eventually lets go and she's like, let's just go to the playground. We need to go play. And so they all get up, they leave the bathroom, and Peyton's...
Wait, what?
Yeah, Morgan grabbed her by her wrist and was, like, holding her in the bathroom, but they couldn't get enough nerve to stab her, so they end up just letting her go. And like,
what was Peyton thinking at this time?
Like I said, I don't want to blame the victim. She's a 12-year-old little girl. You don't think, you know, these girls are weird anyway. So who knows what kind of weird shit they were doing before this? But it's just, it's like, run, girl, run.
Like, why even do that? What?
I don't know. At this point, Peyton is kind of like over whatever it is that they're doing. She's just like, okay, whatever.
That's why when the officer asked her, are you okay? She said, no.
No. Like, you don't even know.
The last hour has been crazy.
It's been, like you say, it's been a freaking fever dream. Like, what the hell? What the hell are you going to say? So Morgan and Nisa, Peyton goes to the playground. She's like, I'm done with y'all. She goes to the playground by herself. Morgan and Anissa come out like 5 minutes later, and Anissa's like, hey, why don't we just go walk it off? We'll just go hang out, walk around the block. Why don't we play hide and seek? And Morgan can be the seeker. And Anissa tells Peyton, so they like kind of, Anissa and Peyton go off kind of like by themselves. And Anissa tells Peyton, hey, lay down face down in the dirt. And Peyton's like, no. And Anissa like pushed her down, and then because she was like on her knees, kind of like crouched down trying to hide. And Anissa shoves her over and sits on top of her. Well, Peyton, she's like, what are you doing? Get off me. I can't breathe. How you're hurting me.
Yeah.
Just trying to fight her off of her. And so Anissa said that she just got up because Peyton was making too much noise and she didn't want her to like attract any attention to them. By this time, Morgan is walking up, and Morgan said, tackle her and I'll stab her.
Wait, so, what? Hang on. At this time, Morgan does what?
Walks back up to Peyton and Anissa. And Peyton's kind of like by herself. Morgan and Anissa are like a few feet away, like talking amongst themselves. And Morgan tells Anissa, like, tackle her and I will stab her.
What the hell?
So Peyton doesn't hear that, though. So Anissa runs and tackles her and then stands up. And then Morgan hands her the knife and says, here, you do it. You know where all the soft spots are. And I seen in that interrogation, they're like, why would you know where the soft spots are? Like, what?
Yeah,
and she's
Morgan.
Like, oh, I watch Doomsday Preppers, and like they're showing like hunting and stuff on like the spots that you need to stab. And she started like listing the like kill spots on a body to like for animals and like translating that to humans.
What the hell?
So the girls go back and forth on who should do it, and finally Morgan grabs the knife and says, Morgan says, don't be afraid, I'm only a little kitty cat, and jumps on top of Peyton and starts stabbing her repeatedly. I told you it's wild. It is
Morgan
wild.
Morgan is supposed to be her lifelong friend.
And she is supposedly the one that stabs her.
Oh my gosh.
Morgan then just stands up and starts walking away completely covered in blood. Peyton is screaming, like, she's able to stand up at first. She's, like, screaming, I hate you. I trusted you. And Anissa, like, she's realizing how loud that Peyton's getting. And Anissa's like, hey, if you lay down and stay quiet, you won't bleed as bad. You'll slow down. Like, acting like she's trying to help her. But really, all she's trying to do is get her to lay down to quit drawing attention to herself. Peyton started saying that, you know, she laid down and she's like, I can't see, I can't walk, I can't breathe, and like starts begging Anissa, like, please go get help, go get help. Morgan goes and picks up a leaf and comes back to Peyton and like starts rubbing a wound on her leg with this leaf, trying to clean it up. And
what? Nah, at that point, I would be swinging.
She can't. She's already lost too much blood. So the detective, she's like, she asked Anissa, like, why would Morgan do that? And she says, because Peyton was her best and only friend for a long time, and it was just really hard for her to do.
So she picked up a leaf That didn't stop the bleeding or the blood or nothing or soak it up, nothing.
It was just like rubbing her leg with it. The girls then lied to Peyton and told her, we're going to go get help. They then started running and they like hid in tall grass for a minute because they like seen people and stuff. So they hid in tall grass. As soon as they get a free chance, they dart. They take off. And as they're walking around, they like, okay, we need to go to Walmart and fill up our water bottles. Why? I don't know. So while they're going for their little side quest, going to go fill up their water bottles, walking around for 5 hours, Peyton drug herself to a sidewalk so that she could be seen. And that's when she's found 20 minutes later. She laid there bleeding for 20 minutes. She had many extreme lacerations. She had puncture wounds to her body. One stab wound in her chest missed a major artery by 1 milliliter. They said if the knife would have went over the width of a human hair, they would have killed her. She had a laceration to her liver, fluid on her heart. She was rushed to intensive care. She was in a lot of pain. They didn't think she was going to make it. They honestly did not think she was going to make it. She couldn't talk because of how much pain she was in. Law enforcement were like at the hospital waiting on her to get there. And they were able to ask her questions, but she was only able to answer by like nodding or shaking her head no, because she's just in so much pain from being stabbed. And I think I seen it was like 19 times that they stabbed her.
That is horrible.
Morgan's recount of the detail is bone chilling. She's very matter of fact. She talks about it same cool, calm voice as she did about everything else, describing what happened. It's at this point, they are believing, okay, there's some kind of mental illness going on, like something's going on. She often says that Anissa was the one that knew Slender Man and was the one that said that they needed to kill Peyton. Which, like you said, to me, that makes more sense because Morgan's like the one clinging for Peyton. Like, you're my friend. You're my only friend. You can't leave me. So why would Morgan want to kill her?
Yeah. Wait, what was it?
Morgan told him that it was actually Anissa that said that we need to do this for Slender Man. Like, we need to kill her for Slender Man. Anissa's the one that said it, is what Morgan is saying. She also said Anissa was the one that got the knife from the kitchen, making herself sound like she was just a follower of the stabbing. So Morgan said she wasn't the one that got the knife from the kitchen. Anissa was. She even said at one point that it was Anissa's plan with the man that she was talking to, referring to Slender Man. The detective asked why they stabbed Peyton, and Morgan just a matter of fact said to kill her. Like, just like that. They said, why did what you guys do this? And Morgan was just like, to kill her. Morgan said, I don't know why it was necessary, but it seemed necessary. Anissa's account did have more emotion, but not like what you would think for a little girl that just stabbed one of her supposed friends. Her only concerns were about herself and not about what she was about to do to her friend. Both girls agreed to taking part in the plan to stab Peyton, but pointed their finger at each other, saying that they were the leader of the plan. So Morgan saying it's Anissa, Anissa saying it's Morgan.
And the only one that really knows is Peyton, but she can't talk.
And that would be a big part on who to charge with what for the crime. And that is where we're going to end for part one.
Period. I like it so far.
You like it so far?
I do. I like when we do it the second time, even though it's annoying, but I grasp it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that Morgan wanted to stay friends with Peyton.
It makes more sense.
It makes more sense because Anissa didn't want Morgan to be friends with Peyton.
So why would Morgan be the one to stab her?
Yeah.
It's just, it's wild.
Or it could completely be the different way, and Morgan had been planning this the whole time.
And she is just...
And actually needed someone to kill for Slender Man or whatever.
Whatever she believed, yeah. It's wild.
It's weird. And they're just so...
12 years old.
But at the same time, during the interview, like, the stuff they said, it was so, like... 12-year-old coded.
It is. Does that make sense? But they were also using, like, big words, and, like, they knew what Miranda rights were, and they knew, like, they understood the system. Like, they understood, I'm getting arrested, I'm going to jail. Like, they understood the entire process. Like, some parts, they seem very mature, and then other parts, they're still so immature. It's just, it's crazy. It is wild. And another thing that I got to thinking about, like, Anissa, how crazy is it the very first thing that she said to that detective, other than about how far did we walk, was Morgan hears voices. You know what I mean? Like, is that, is she, she's only 12, but is she thinking, if I say this about her and I say she did it. She
knows about manipulation.
Yeah, is she already manipulating the situation?
And then same whenever it happened, whenever Peyton actually got stabbed, she was like, oh, it's okay, lay on the ground. It'll, manipulation.
Yeah.
Yep. How do they know how to do this when they're only 12
years old? Yeah.
That's scary.
That is scary. It's crazy, crazy. So, yeah. So, welcome to first part one, our first two-parter. So, I guess that's it for tonight. I will try to have everything posted Monday. If not, I'll at least have the audio posted and then video as soon as I can. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe.
Recommend
meet all the recommendations. Doesn't even have to
be scary, like,
yeah,
stories.
True, like, crime, scary.
Movies.
Personal accounts. I love personal accounts. We want those
movies to watch, documentaries.
Yes, all
places
of it.
To go eat at that are spooky, like, yeah. Polish. You know?
Anything.
I know if anyone lives in the
Tyler area,
Hobby Lobby has like 40% off all their fall stuff right now. So, want to go hit up Hobby Lobby. It's not sponsored. It should be.
Michael's has some cute stuff too, though.
But Hobby Lobby has some cuter stuff.
Go get your spooky season. Go get your spooky season stuff. Go get it, girl.
And if y'all know where the new Spirit Halloween is going to be at, let me know, because me and Elizabeth were looking for that.
Oh, it's in two spots in Tyler.
Oh, I know. I can't remember what
other one's in the new shopping center, the old Joann's fabric store.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's where the other one is. Okay, so I'm going to be going to that one.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Yeah. So share all that. That's it, I guess, for tonight. Tori's got to go pick up Elizabeth.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, until next week.
For part two.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Better record this time.
I know.
I'm going to zoom into your face while you're doing that.
FaceTime.